Good evening. Welcome to Chapter 8, The Secret of the Healing Principle, in our 1955 Kailua Study Group series. We are going to have a fun time tonight. If you haven't already done so, settle down, have a little meditation, and then restart this talk, because it's necessary that you are in the correct state of awareness before we enter into this chapter. This is going to give us the secret to the nature of error and how to break the illusion. What is it, that chapter in the 58 or 59 letters, break the fetters that bind you? Well, this chapter is going to tell us exactly how to do that. So, on 122 he says, the fact that there have been a dozen saints or more that have been able to practice these principles must indicate that in some way it is possible for us to become aware of these same truths, these principles, and embody them in our experience. And folks, let me tell you, I have been on a search for this particular principle we're going to learn tonight most of my life. Now, on the next page, he says, as a matter of fact, there were not too many of my own patients or students ready or willing to see, they weren't able to understand, that this is a lifting of oneself into a spiritual realm, rather than bringing the spiritual realm down into making a better human experience. Now, it's very important to understand this and to act on this principle. Over and over and over, it's drummed into us, and I'm drumming it some more. You cannot add God to your humanhood. You cannot pull God into the human scene. God is not in the human scene anywhere. However, how do you practice that? What do you do with it? Heck, how do you remember it, right? Don't we forget more than we remember? I mean, the minute one of our relatives close to us, our spouse or our child, our parent or grandparent, has a problem, don't you immediately want to apply some principle on that problem? Well, he's going to get into that and how that is something we have to train ourselves out of. And so if you don't think that this is work, well, I know if you've listened to these talks to this point, oh, you know it's work. We are going to be involved in some work here. And I'm going to be doing this, and I'm sure you are too, once we learn how to embody these principles tonight. Never must we handle or take into thought a person, a thing, or a condition. How many times have you read that over the years? I've been reading these books for 36 years. I mean, true, I took long breaks in between when I wanted to go out there into the world, but I imagine I've heard that principle. Never must we handle or take into our thought a person, a thing, or a condition thousands upon thousands of times. And yet I've never done the work, that which he calls training yourself out of this. I've never done that work enough to embody the principle. Until recently. Recently, I'm finally making some headway with this and seeing some results. But it's only been the last 2 years I have thrown my entire being into trying to remember this. practice it. Not just that we don't take a person or a condition into our meditation, but the whole set of principles we're going to explain tonight, or hopefully shed some light on. He says, error always appears as a person or a condition. That's the way it appears. Even his students, he says up here, were not ready or willing to see this, that which we're talking about tonight. Now, I feel that everyone here in this class is ready to and willing to see this and to do something about it. So, error is never a person, it's never a thing, it's never a condition. Alright, so we're not working with health, we're not working with supply, we're not working with persons. All of those things have to do with conditions out here. If you're dealing with any of them, he says the war is lost. Because if you do that, if you try to improve a person or a condition, you're trying to bring God down into the human scene. And he told us up here, number one principle, you might as well put this on a paper and staple it to your wall. Put it on 3x5 and put it in your purse or in your top pocket so you can see it about 17 times a day. And that principle is that this is a lifting of oneself into a spiritual realm rather than bringing the spiritual realm down into making a better human experience. You know that that's the whole temptation? If you review the temptations of Jesus Christ, you'll find out that every single temptation was a temptation to improve something in the human scene. And the only way he refuted it was to continually say, no, I'm relying on this infinite invisible. Now, no person on earth or group of people are our enemies. No sin is your enemy. No disease is your enemy. The longer you fight a person, a disease, a sin, or a condition, the longer you will be embroiled in what is called this world. But, I wrote, denying them is also a trap. I think that's what we fall into. We think we have a grasp of impersonalization and nothingization. We don't. We don't have a consciousness of it. So an error shows up, any error, it doesn't matter the name, and we throw principles at it. We deny it. It's not there. It's a nothingness. This is world mind. But don't you see that activity is all taking place in the human mind? The very fabric, which we're going to get into, the very fabric of the problem is that same human mind that's repeating these truths like a parrot. And so that's not going to help, which you know, because if you've ever done it, you turn around and the problem's still there, isn't it? It didn't work. So we go back. I don't understand. Why didn't it work? Hopefully by the end of tonight you will understand how this works. There may be some individual or group of individuals standing between you and your harmony. And this is what we do, not only to people standing between us and our harmony, but this is what we do to a disease, a financial problem, a relationship problem, or lack of relationships. This is what we do. We try to treat them. We try to treat for them. We try to treat that something be done about them. Isn't that what we do? We direct our energies toward overcoming them, or removing them, or bringing them into harmony. And that's how we lose our demonstration. That's the wrong thing. That's wrong, I wrote. That's a reminder for myself. This is wrong. Don't do this. So now you can kind of go back over your meditations whenever you've had a problem and you've tried to heal it. If you tried to treat the problem or the person or the condition, if you tried to treat for the person, if you've tried to have treatments so that something would be done about them, or if you've tried to treat so that you could overcome the problem, or remove it, or dissolve it. If you've tried to have treatments to bring about a harmonious situation, then you have lost your demonstration. You need to review that, because all of that is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it is trying to bring spirit into matter, into a concept. See, if you try to bring about harmony in a situation, you're trying to bring God down into this world, aren't you? Yes, of course. But he said at the very beginning of this, and that's what you need to put on that 3x5 card, this is not about, the spiritual way of healing is not about bringing God into this scene to repair it or fix it or dissolve it or remove it. No, no, no. This is about rising up into a spiritual realm where there are no such things. Now, see, that puts a different slant on it, doesn't it? Now, he says, the secret is this. And I want to say something here. I'm not sure if this is just so doggone hard to explain that nobody can grasp it, or if Joel failed at explaining this. I don't know which one it is. I know it takes a long time to get it, but I think he could have explained this better. That's just my feeling. Because of his background in Christian Science, I feel a lot of, he took for granted that people understood these things. Because in the beginning there was no infinite way. He was talking to Christian Science, Religious Science, Unity, New Thought people. So he thought that they had an understanding of this. And he used terms and he used ideas, and it didn't get across. He himself admits it, because later in 1959, which is 4 years after this, he recognized people weren't getting it. They were not getting it. And he devoted that year to trying to explain this in several of the places that he went and in several of his letters. But I think even then, with that subliminal messages stuff, I don't think it got across. I don't think people pick up his book and read that explanation and come away with, oh, I understand what error is. I don't think it worked. Now, I'm not saying I can do any better. I'm not saying it can be explained. I'm saying that something, it didn't work. It didn't work. Otherwise, there would be hundreds of people as practitioners if they were able to pick up the books and get it. All right, but anyway, let's see if you and I can get it in these classes tonight. So the secret is this. There's a universal belief, a universal hypnotism, which is the source of every discord that comes into our experience. Every limitation, every sin, every temptation, every disease that comes to us is an effect of a universal force or power, which, remember, is not power. It's only power because of acceptance in the human mind. If it were a power, we couldn't dispel it. Yeah, it would be eternal, wouldn't it? Now, I wrote over here, let's see what I wrote. It is only power when you try to get rid of it, or treat for harmony, or treat for supply, or treat for health. Now, by treat, you understand, I mean apply principles for. Apply spiritual principles for harmony, for supply, or health. or companionship, because that is trying to pull God into the human scene. That gives the hypnotism of the mind power. Now, see? That's a very important point if you get it. And if I get it. Because what it means is, we thought we were applying spiritual principles to a problem, and in fact, what we were doing was giving the problem all its power. The exact opposite of our intention. Now try to understand this. He says, no person is ever dying. No person is ever dying, he says twice. Handle the universal mesmerism of death. All right, I wrote a concept in the mind. Yes, no person is ever dying, because a person dying or a person being born is a concept in the mind. I know you guys don't like that. I know that doesn't go over too good when I say there's no such thing as a person. When I say your love for your little nephew and your grandparent and your spouse and your child is loving an illusion. I know you don't like that. And I suppose it wasn't like too good when Jesus said it either. But he did, didn't he? Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me. Is that not what he said? Yes, that's what he said. And that's his way of saying, let those sleepwalkers love the guy they're putting in the ground. You come and follow me. There's a higher realm. In that realm, what did we read in the New Horizon? In that realm is a universe governed by love, people, the children of God. Remember? That's the universe where love reigns. When we learn to peek into that universe and see that invisible flesh that we talked about last week, that is the universe of the real. That's where we love the Word made flesh and the child and children of God. When he says here, handle the universal mesmerism of death and the hypnotism that says we were born, that we were created of matter, born of man and woman, I wrote, that is a concept in the mind. It's not invisible flesh. Drop it completely. Do no work on it. Rise into an awareness of invisible flesh, and that's all. So how do you handle it? How do you drop it? I just told you. All right, maybe I'm mumbling this up, so let's go back to the beginning. This is on your 3x5 card. Too many of the students were not ready or willing to see that this was a lifting of oneself into a spiritual realm rather than bringing the spiritual realm down into the human scene. So here he says, never treat a person that is dying, because no person is ever dying, because no person was ever born. No person was created of matter, born of man and woman. Well, folks, now that means everybody you see, well, that means there's no person on earth. Which I put in one of my talks, and I didn't get very many positive emails back on it, I guarantee you. There is no person on earth. No person. Not even you. So, when you see a person that's dying, how do you handle it? Recognize it is a concept in the mind. I'm looking at a concept. That's what I like to call it. Universal world beliefs is fine too. Universal hypnotism, mesmerism, so long as those aren't cliches that you're throwing at it. If you can get a feel for it, I can get a feel for this is a concept in the mind, a mental image. That I can get a feel for. So I'm looking at a concept in the mind. This is not invisible flesh. No, this is a concept of material flesh. So now I'm going to drop it. I'm not going to work on it. I'm not going to treat it. I'm not going to practice principles on it. I'm dropping it. It's a concept. Drop it. Now, I'm here in my meditation to become still, to rise into an awareness of that invisible flesh, the Word made flesh, that eternal life. And when we do that, he says elsewhere, the person will jump up and be all fresh and new. All right, so that's the beginning idea of the concept that we're studying tonight. Now, again, he says it's a universal belief in birth, which naturally results in a universal belief in death. You see, the infinite way is not so that you can cure somebody and they can have 20 more years to knit booties, as he says. No. The infinite way is a spiritual path which will lift you above the universal belief, which is a belief everywhere, in birth. Because when you step out of the belief in birth as an experience, as an inner awareness, then you have automatically stepped out of the belief in death, haven't you? Then is when you can look at someone that's supposed to be dying and just smile, because you know it doesn't exist. Not in the kingdom, only as a concept. Then is when you can say, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus will come forth. So you see, the infinite way is lifting you above that, into a spiritual realm, into the realm of the real. But there's work involved. You can't just sit down and say, well, that sounds pretty good. The next time I see someone dying on the side of the road after a head-on collision, I think I'll just sit down in the lotus position and realize, this is a concept, forget about it. Okay, God, what's really here? And the person will get up and walk away. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to start where you are, maybe with some smaller things, and realize that that is a universal concept. And then, as you drop it, you are lifted. You don't lift yourself. You do your part, which is to drop the concept, quiet the mind, which is where the concept is yakety-yakking, and in the silence, the spirit descends, lifts you up in its arms into that other realm, and you have an awareness of invisible flesh. It's a real experience. Honest. Some of you know. All right, that happens once, twice, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. You're driving down the road, you see that accident, you stop, you meditate on the side of the road. Now you have the developed consciousness that does, in fact, see through that. And the person does come out of, well, the people standing around might be heard to say, he was dead. There was no pulse. I'm telling you, he was dead. And he just came back. Because you will have seen through this illusion. But it won't come day after tomorrow. But there's no reason that it can't come in the next couple of years. For all of us, if we are intent about working this, I don't mean working this whole every Wednesday night for an hour. The rest of the time I'm going to go off and do my own thing. No, you have to make a commitment. All right. Now, he gives us an exercise here, and I hope you did this when you were reading it. In your imagination, you went over to a park on a Sunday afternoon. You saw the band playing, right? This is very good, very good. And the point of this whole exercise is, supposing in the first case, well, here, let's go back up here first. Now, if we were to take the leather cover and make a man here and a piano here, sky over here, we would still have neither man, piano, or sky. We would have leather. Now, if you did that in your mind, you sort of, any of you that have ever done any sewing where you've cut out patterns, you can see that, can't you? The cutting out the pattern of a man and a piano and a sky or whatever. And so you can understand, those aren't really there. You just have the leather. The leather is the fabric, okay? Now, that word fabric is very important. I put that word over on my notepad when I was reading this the first time several months ago, and I circled it several times. Fabric, fabric, fabric. It's very important, very important. All right. Supposing in the first case you had started out to eliminate each one of the men from the bandstand. You still have been left with the instruments. Then you'd have to get rid of the instruments. Then you'd have to work on getting rid of the bandstand. You see, he's trying to show you here that you can work on this and that and that and this and this and that and that and this. Or you can begin to see that the whole thing is one fabric. One fabric. Work with this. Look at this. Meditate on it, my friends. Because if you understand this thing about a fabric, you'll have the secret to being able to see through this. You won't be fooled by person, place, or thing, which is how that fabric appears. And when you're not fooled by them, you're not tempted into treating them, to bring them into some sort of harmony. All right. He says, rather than doing that, you could have done all that by stopping your imagination in one stroke. All right, how, I wrote? We drop it completely. We do no work on it. Then rise into a feeling of invisible presence, spirit, flesh, or life. Now, I'm going to be saying that over and over again tonight, because that's the experience for me. We drop it. We look at it. We recognize, oh, here's that fabric. It's the same fabric of this whole world. This world is made out of that fabric. And the fabric is concepts. Because we have found out already this world is not out here. There is no this world in this world. Remember? This world is made out of universal beliefs or concepts, all taking place in the mind. No illusion is ever externalized. And so, there's no illusion in this world out here. This world that you're seeing that's an illusion is all taking place in the mind. It's not externalized. This world is in the mind. And so that's where you have to meet it, is within. So it doesn't matter what term you like, so long as you pick one to you that represents a fabric. Okay? You can pick hypnotism, which I don't like. You can pick mesmerism. That doesn't do anything for me either. You can pick appearance. That's a good one. You can pick mental images. I like that. You can pick concepts. I like that too. You can pick illusion, Maya. It doesn't matter. Soap bubbles, he said. So long as to you, you recognize it as a fabric made out of nothing. All right, now, the point he's making here is that instead of treating each individual thing, he could have stopped all of it by eliminating the fabric out of which it was made, which in that case was imagination. Then he gives you another little example of swimming. And you could have broken that whole thing up by realizing it was a dream. The fabric of that was dream. All right. So now he gets down to it. The fabric of the discords of human experience is a universal hypnotism, a universal belief, or a series of universal beliefs. I kind of like that too. That's the fabric, 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 of every sense of limitation that can come into your experience. All of it, folks. Stop looking at, well, I've got a problem with supply. No, you don't. You do not. That's not it at all. Stop that. You are being presented a picture made out of the fabric of illusion, of nothingness, of hypnotism, of concept. You are being presented a picture made of the fabric of concepts. It's only in the mind. Stop saying you're having a problem with your health. Would you just stop? Stop that. Don't think that way anymore. You are being presented with a picture. And that picture is made out of the fabric of concepts, mental images, hypnotism. Stop saying you have a problem with your mother-in-law and you need to practice principles. Would you stop? Train yourself out of that thinking. I said train yourself. Don't read a book and think you've trained yourself. Work with it. Catch yourself whenever you start thinking that old pattern. Oh, you know, I need to practice some principles. I got a problem over here. Stop it. Start training yourself to stop yourself and say, no. No, I don't have a problem with her or him. Here's a picture being presented to me, made out of the fabric of nothingness, of wispy concepts, of cloudy hypnotism. The fabric of it is this universal hypnotism, the universal belief of a universe apart from God. See? Now, he's going to tell you how he came up with this idea of the fabric. But first, when Jesus says, I have overcome the world, he did not mean that he had overcome all the people in the world and all the evils of the people. Because he didn't. His ministry didn't last long enough. No, it's only 3 years. How could he? He overcame the world in one stroke. Because he realized that the world was made up of this fabric, this mesmeric illusion. And all he had to do was to destroy the fabric. And all the people, all the circumstances, all the conditions disappeared. You see, you have one job. You don't have to juggle all these plates like we thought we did. Well, I've got to learn the principles of supply. I've got to learn the principles of life and health. I've got to learn the principles of relationships. No. No. There's one error. And it keeps reforming itself. That one error is the concept in the mind of a universe, a self, a law, a cause. He lists them. Something separate from God. That's the only error. One concept reappearing as different pictures. One fabric. Train yourself to think this way. All right. This is important here where he says, if I were to think in terms of spreading the message of the infinite way to this person, this group, that group, I just couldn't stay on earth long enough to do it. Nobody could go out into the world and sell the message of the infinite way to this many people by their human efforts and to reach people. But in one stroke it's accomplished. With the realization that the ignorance that would separate people from a realization of this truth isn't personal to you or to me or to the people of the world. It's a universal ignorance, a universal sense of hypnotism, which is without presence or power. Now, I would like to see all of you that are members of Mystical Principles, you're just as aware as I am of the different states and stages being presented to us of consciousness of the 140 people in that group. And some people seem to be antagonistic, and some people seem to be slow, and some people seem to be fighting and not able to. I think it's time for all of us. They say 10 righteous men can save a city. Surely we can save a group. And by that I mean, let us start knowing in our posts, as we read the posts each day, that exactly what he's talking about here. This is made out of the substance, the fabric of concepts or hypnotism or illusion. It's the same error appearing as ignorance or antagonism or fear or doubt or limitation or not understanding or misunderstanding. Let's see if the 10 of us, or 9, however many are in the mystical principles, if we can know this truth about this group, and let's see if there isn't some new realizations that begin to happen, not only for us, but for those we are knowing the truth about. Okay. Now, on the bottom, always, 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 your realization that you're dealing with a fabric. Underline that, circle it, staple it to your, write it on your arm. You're dealing with a fabric, a fabric, a fabric. And a fabric, in this case, is not leather. It's concept, belief. It's some wispy thing in the mind. You're dealing with a fabric, not the pictures that the fabric presents, but the fabric itself. That is our saving grace. Get that. Yes, I wrote very, very important to grasp this. Go over it and meditate until you do. And I say, amen. I like this guy. All right. Yes, it's in our mind, not out there. All right? In other words, we never have a dying person or a diseased person. We have a state of hypnotism or a fabric of concepts appearing as sick, sinful, or dying or dead person. Can you follow that? We never had a bad person. The moment we realize that, the person disappears and the fabric along with him. And then we are enabled to behold them as they really are. Now, he's not... You see, this is what I'm talking about. He knows, because I've heard him say it elsewhere, he knows that it's not done until you attain a silence and you feel the descent of the Spirit. I know you've read that. And he's not saying it here. And so this is like a half a treatment, if you want to call it a treatment. But it's because he knows, because he lives this and has done this thousands. Remember, he's been a practitioner for umpteen years at this time. And so he's done this tens of thousands of times. And so he's not explaining it the way I feel he should. I feel he should tell you. So I'm going to tell you the second half of this in just a little bit. But I'll tell you this now. He's re-going over what he said just a minute ago. You realize that you're dealing with a fabric, not with a person. And when you do that, now this is within yourself as you're becoming quiet, when you're doing this, the person disappears. You see, you don't have any person in your meditation after that. And the fabric along with him. Then, you are enabled to behold them as they really are. Because, well, I wrote it like this. Then, we are enabled to rise into the invisible realm of eternal spirit in our meditation. So there's two parts. The first part is to quiet yourself down. Step out of that mind where the concepts exist. Come up over that mind, as we said in earlier chapters, into this invisible spiritual realm. Alright? We'll go over that so you understand it. There is only one way to escape from the delusion of sense, or from the pictures, or from the fabric of the sense mind. And that is to realize that behind them is the fabric, the dream, fabric of which they are constituted. and to know that that dream fabric is illusory, has no actual creative principle. Well, there's no God in it, no spirit in it, and therefore it has no existence. Out here, it has no law to sustain it, no substance, no continuity, and that destroys it. All right, now, you've heard this before, but, in fact, he says this on the next page or something. What we have just read, you remember how he said he doesn't understand how people don't read the New Horizon for a year or more? Well, what he just explained, and it took him 4 or 5 pages to do it, which would be about 30 minutes, is exactly this first paragraph in the New Horizon. The sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence. Now, really, that's the whole thing, the first part of this, isn't it? Because that's telling us the fabric of the entire human existence is the sense mind, the universal mesmerism, human concepts. It must be understood that there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. Now, if you had taken that into your meditation for a year, you would have by now realized, well, then why am I trying to treat to make a bad human condition into a harmonious one if there's no more reality to it? I'm barking up the wrong tree, aren't I? That can't be right. So when he says earlier, in an earlier chapter, that if you had studied this thing, every single principle is in it, well, he's telling us the truth, isn't he? This is a week or two of classes here, which he put in this little book that's only 187 pages, and yet every single principle is in here, if we would study it and make it our own. And so, to finish this paragraph, just because I love it so much, and I know you love hearing it again and again, it must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, or the entire human scene is made out of the fabric of concepts. And we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. Yes, because you can't rise into the spiritual realm if you're trying to pull the spiritual realm down into a human condition, can you? So you need to understand fully that suggestion, belief, hypnotism is the substance or fabric, see there it is, fabric of the whole mortal universe, and that human conditions of both good and evil are dream pictures having no reality or permanence. Now, here's the secret to healing. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. Aha! Now that's exactly the same as what I wrote here. When you drop that, you are enabled to rise into the invisible realm of eternal spirit, because he says above the sense life is a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. Do you see how he's taking really every single principle that he has in just one paragraph there, and he's expanding on it? Yet all he's doing is repeating it over and over again, and really that's all I'm doing as well. All right, so getting back to this, know that the dream fabric is illusory, he says. It has no actual creative principle since God did not create it. Therefore, it has no existence, no law, no substance, no continuity. That destroys it. Yes. What do you mean? He doesn't mean that... Okay, now listen up. You might be missing this. He doesn't mean that destroys it out here. It's not out here. Stop looking for it to be destroyed out here. That's not what he's talking about. He's assuming you know how to do this already because he's done it 10,000 times. You don't. And that was probably the mistake. That's probably why he had to come back in 1959 and try to clean it up. And I don't think it was cleaned up enough, and I don't think I'm qualified to do it either. But I hope to someday. But anyway, he means in your meditation, the fabric is destroyed in your mind. Okay? He means the fabric of the illusion is destroyed in your mind. The fabric is destroyed. Because that's what it's made out of. Alright? And when that's destroyed, you're able to rest back, be still, and be lifted up into the spirit. And then you can see that which was not made by hands. Right? What did he say? Above this universe, above the sense life is a universe governed by love. Okay, so you're able to see a temple not made with hands. You're able to actually perceive. You see, you can't perceive it with that mind. That mentality can't know God. It's made up of that fabric. In your meditation, as you know, oh, I'm looking at that fabric again, appearing as a new kind of picture. Now it's him or her or whatever, but I'm not being fooled. This is that fabric. It has no cause, no law, no substance. I drop you. Get the hints. Now it's that destroys that image, that fabric. You're free for the moment. You're able to rest back, float up into the sea of spirit, and you can perceive now with the faculty that's opened up, because you're not in that sense mind, you're able to perceive the Word made invisible flesh. Eternal, immortal, spiritual being. And that's all you do. That's all you care about. Once you have that experience, you're done. Thank you very much. That's done. Go on down the road, wash dishes if you got them. Change the oil in the car, mow the lawn. Wash your sheets. Go shopping. Get your hair done. And then the person calls back and says, wow, I don't know what you did, but I sure feel good. I don't know what you did, but my income's improving. I don't know what you did, but she came and apologized, or he came and apologized. You see? You didn't do anything. You didn't work on anything out here. Or in the way they talk up here, you didn't work on nothing. Nope. You went with him, and you followed these directions. All right. Now, I love this next part, because I read the story about Buddha a long time ago, and I really, there was something about it really resonated with me. And as it turns out, well, I'll read it first, then I'll explain it. Well, before we get into that, there's one more paragraph here. We have no dying person. We have an illusory sense of death. When we handle that, the dying person jumps up and says, here I am, all fresh and new. See, but you haven't done anything to a person. No. Train yourself out of that. You destroyed the fabric of the appearance. The fabric which was appearing in the mind. There's no other way, he says. There's no other way of overcoming this world. Now, go back if you haven't listened to it. Download my talk, The Narrow Path of Impersonalization, and listen to it, because it's very clear on how you do this, how you impersonalize and nothingize the fabric. This is the secret to overcoming the world. Now he's going to get into Buddha. And I love this. I just love it. He says, this experience came to me, this unfoldment, all these principles we've discussed, because of one paragraph that's in this book concerning the life of Buddha. And now you know the story of Buddha, I assume, that he was protected by his father and never saw any of the bad things in life. And then one day they went out driving and he saw death and he saw sickness and he saw poverty and he couldn't believe it. And he asked the driver, "Are these the only cases of this in the world?" "Oh, no," said the driver. "Everyone comes to this eventually." Well, that horrified him. It was unthinkable. Such a beautiful universe as he knew up until now, such conditions as disease, death, and poverty could exist. And this is the question that came into his mind, and it gave me the solution to the whole thing. Now, this is Joel talking. This is how he learned to heal. So put your hearing aid on, become attuned, and catch this. This is the question that came into Buddha's mind, and it gave Joel the solution to the whole thing. I must find out how to remove sin, disease, and death from the world. And that was it. He never thought about going out and healing people. He never thought about going out and reforming or enriching people. How do you remove sin, disease, and death from the world? So now you know that the healing principle of the infinite way came from Buddha. It's very important that you understand this. Yes. You see, Buddha wasn't trying to heal people. He wasn't trying to give them supply. He wasn't trying to fix or repair or anything. He wasn't trying to practice principles to make anything appear beautiful out here. No, he had learned that there was this fabric appearing as sin, disease, and death. And he wanted to know, how do you remove that fabric from a world that's already perfect? How do you remove that fabric, okay? And that's what you're trying to learn. All right. You have heard me say that when I am asked for help, I never take a person or their condition into my consciousness. Do you remember that? You know that? This is the reason. The person and the condition is the decoy that would fool you. Yes. You've got to train yourself out of this. Trust me on this. I mean, you don't have to. You can go on down the road and continue to suffer and run into old age and misery and die penniless. And, or maybe you won't die penniless. Maybe you'll die wealthy. But you'll still have the experience of death and come back and start again because you won't have overcome the world. And he told us in the last page, this is the only way to overcome the world. And Buddha told us, this is the only way he found out how to remove Maya. Get off of the wheel of the cycle, the wheel of life. Alright? So, these are the pictures, these are the decoys. If your heart goes out to someone, you've lost it. Forget it, you're already trapped and hypnotized. If you have sympathy for that poor, old, whatever, you've blown it right there. If your heart goes out for that suffering nation, I'm sorry, you just blew it. You're looking at concepts in your mind. I might be sitting right next to you and not even see a suffering nation. Do you know that? Or one of you might be sitting next to me and not even see a suffering animal. You might be looking into that invisible realm, peopled with children of God, and seeing that word made invisible flesh, while I'm looking and seeing this miserable person or animal. But that's the decoy. You're going to train yourself out of that. Train yourself to say, fabric, fabric, fabric. So, I wrote down here, you must forget entirely people, places, things, and conditions, and work to remove the fabric by first recognition that that's what it is, and then by dropping it. in order to rise into the spiritual consciousness. See? It's the same thing over and over. Hopefully we can get it. On the next page, to really be of help to anyone, and I'm assuming you want to be of help, stop thinking of the person and the condition and realize that they represent only a picture, an image, made of the fabric that is presenting itself to you as that image. It's called mortal dream, mortal mind. It makes no difference what name you use for it, as long as you realize it's a universal sense, which in and of itself has no law to sustain it, no cause, no effect, and no person. Because, I wrote, until you realize this, you can't rise into the invisible kingdom. Yes, it has to be a real realization, one that releases you into that spiritual realm. Now he talks about in meditation there's a release. That's the release. It has to be a realization, really. Oh, here's that fabric again. I know what it is. It's a nothingness. No law, no cause. That's right. Ah, and you're released. Now you're floating back on that sea of spirit, and awareness comes. Don't you know that's what the stone cut out of the mountain without hands means? It means you've been released, and awareness comes to you. It's cut out of consciousness. It floats out of consciousness into your awareness. Now, never try to save a dying person. Always instantly remember you are dealing not with a person, not with a condition, not with a thing, but with a hypnotic suggestion or a fabric which has no existence outside of the human mind. Then you will find that you destroy the entire fabric of which all error is made. And I wrote, the human mind is the fabric, and you must, in your meditation, rise out of that mind into the silence of spiritual awareness. You can see how now, if you were sitting down knowing a lot of truths with the mind, the human mind, how it would never work, can't you? Because the same mind that's appearing as the fabric of a disease is the same mind appearing as these truths mentally repeated over and over. Of course, it's not going to work. So it must be a different kind of a realization, not a mental realization. It must be a knowing, a deeper knowing. That comes from working with him. Now, he has reduced the universal series of beliefs, which are in the human mind, remember. And they are a belief of a selfhood apart from God, a cause apart from God, a law apart from God, a being apart from God, a life apart from God, a substance apart from God, a wisdom apart from God, and a knowledge apart from God. This is the fabric, I wrote, of this series of beliefs. This whole series of beliefs put together constitutes a mesmeric influence. So this is the fabric, also known as the Adam dream, he says. Every time you're called upon for the solution of a problem, see if there isn't a person involved, and you'll find there is. Then you'll see that since God is the only creative principle, it can't be the child of God that's involved in it. Nope. This is not that invisible word made flesh. It's got to be the fabric of illusion, the fabric of appearance, the fabric of concepts, the fabric of mental images. Well, I'm certainly not going to work on that, nor am I going to try to improve it. I'm going to drop it. God never made a person. There is no person ever there. You know, he says, we would all find it very simple to meet the cases that came to us for help if we could just say, this world, and smile at it. If we could say, oh, this is just a condition of this world, the illusory world, or the fabric of appearances, or the fabric of concepts, and it's not God's, and then drop it. You'd be surprised how quickly it would yield. And I wrote, because we could then easily do the second part and rest in spiritual awareness. All right. We're running kind of long tonight, but this is important. As you get used to the idea that everything that appears in any limited sense, whether as person or condition, is a part of this world, meaning the dream world, the atom world, the unreal world, or the fabric of concepts, and then walk right on by, you'll find how quickly the illusion would be broken for your patient or your friend or your relative. It's not broken out there. You're not breaking it for them. Don't be fooled by that. It's broken in your mind. That's where the concept's appearing. When it's broken in your mind, it's broken everywhere. You understand that? One with God is a majority, and I wrote that down here. Now, over here in the margin I wrote, if you're seeing persons, bodies made of matter, a material world, good or bad forms, health, sickness, wealth, poverty, companions or loneliness, young or old, female or male, good weather or bad weather, everything limited or temporary, anything limited or temporary, anything temporary at all, is made of that fabric. And so you might as well drop it all in order to come into the realm of the real. But we first see it, and then we seek to do something about it, he says. Is that clear? We first see it, and then we seek to do something about it, and thereby we become hypnotized. If we could see it and then remember that the fabric is the dream, the imagination, the illusory sense, the mental concept, the mental image, this world, and then pass it by, we would break the dream. We would break the fabric. We would break the mental concept. We would break the mental image. Because we would be dehypnotized. Now, if one person is dehypnotized, the dream is broken everywhere because one with God is a majority. All right, the non-practitioner looks and says, oh my God, how horrible. I can't tell you how many times I heard that on 9/11. I happened to have overslept that morning, and I got up, and people were calling me, and totally hypnotized. And I listened patiently to each one, and then by the time I was done with about five of those, it was kind of hard to go into meditation. But I did it. And the first thing we did in this house is we prayed for the so-called enemies. We prayed for all the Arabic families and all the Arabs. That's the first thing we did here. Okay, because that's what our master said to do. All right, now. So, the non-practitioner, the person that's hypnotized, says, oh, how terrible. But the practitioner, if they've really arrived at a practitioner consciousness, looks out there and says, oh, this world, hypnotism, nothingism, mental concepts, mental image, and then goes right on about their business of living. Yeah, and the practitioner will heal him, and the other person, with all their sympathy, will help him stay stuck. And so, he says here, the human mind is in rebellion at once to anything that would destroy it. And I wrote, truth will destroy your human mind because it is an illusion. There is only one thing holding back harmony from our personal experience. And I wrote, the human mind. Well, because that's what makes up these concepts. The fabric of these concepts is the human mind, is it not? World mind, human mind, same thing. There is only one way to break that sense of limitation, and that is to withdraw from the battle. Now, see, we've been hung up, a lot of us, and I know it, is we were trying to practice principles on these things. Throw principles at them. Practice principles. Practice principles for harmony. Practice principles for supply. Practice principles for health. You know? That's still in the battle. Because you're still trying to change picture from one picture to another. You don't want that. No? We want to drop the battle. Drop it. Drop all the concepts. We don't want either one. It's all concepts. Vanity, vanity, it's all concepts. Drop it. No, we want to step out of the battle. Put up the sword. Stand ye still. Stand fast. Be still. Peace, be still. That's what we want. And we can only do that if we recognize, oh, nope, nope, it's not a person, not a place, not a thing. This is that fabric, and here's that fabric right here in this mind. Will you be quiet? I'm not buying it. Now be quiet. Be still. All right, Father, what do you see? Lift me up. Spirit, flow. See? Then we're lifted into that spiritual realm, the realm of the real, and we perceive reality. All right, so I wrote that here. The second part is waiting in the silence for the descent of the Holy Spirit, for God to be on the field, as he said in some other writings. All right, now, we're going to look at that, because it's important. And he says it so well here in The Art of Spiritual Healing. I want you to understand the second part of this. I want you to understand the first part, so that you will not treat people, places, and things, or treat for harmony, or supply, or health, or companionship. I want you to see it's the fabric of illusion, or whatever term works for you, mental concepts. But now I want you to understand, after you've recognized that and dropped it for real, had a realization, had depth, so that you've felt that release, I want you to wait for the second part. It says here, the minute you have made the carnal mind a nothingness, or the arm of flesh, you no longer have two powers, and you can do just what it says in Scripture, rest in His Word. You can rest in this Word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you, and when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. Okay? Now, one more little piece here on the next page, because it explains it so well. I love this. Now, as you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, oh yeah, let me go back there, that's important. For years after I had learned to recognize that all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, depression, are mesmeric sense or hypnotism, the puzzle was to discover how to break the hypnotism, okay? He recognized it was the fabric of hypnotism, but he didn't know where to go from there. It was then that I discovered the scriptural passage which you will find throughout all my writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. The weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something not physical nor mental. Here's our weapon, folks. I told you you had to experience a release, and then you'd be lifted up. And this is the way he describes that. Our offense and defense is no action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. As you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, while you stand to the side as a witness or beholder, eventually a state of peace will come. And then, listen, you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. As you become a beholder, reality, or the realm of the real, begins to appear. And the principle, he says, is when you are not thinking thoughts or words, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. Therefore, the mental images, the concepts, the hypnotism is gone. And when you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. Now, do you see it? Do you see it clearly? There's a first part and a second part. Have I made it clear? I think I can do even better than this someday when I go out and talk about it, but are you seeing it clearly? I'm going to spell it out again. The first part is recognizing you're not dealing with person, place, or thing, or condition. Don't be fooled by the decoy. The first part is to train yourself to see, this is that fabric. I remember, in those Kahlua talks, they referred to it like leather. Yes, I remember. Fabric. And the fabric of illusion, or the fabric of this that's appearing, this picture, is an illusion. Or the fabric is a nothingness. Or the fabric is
hypnotism, or the fabric is mental image, or the fabric is mental concepts, or the fabric is a universal series of beliefs, or the fabric is soap bubbles. It doesn't matter what you name it, but do name it so that it means fabric. Okay? Now, once you see it's the fabric trying to fool you, that it's only taking place in the human mind, then you can stop trying to do anything about anything out here. No treating, no trying to demonstrate anything. There's no demonstration to make in a perfect kingdom. Okay? I tried to say that earlier, and I meant it. Us in this class have no outer demonstration ever again. We have one demonstration to make now, and that is this release that comes when you recognize, okay, this is the fabric. I'm not doing anything but dropping it. Thank you. I don't have to do anything about a nothing. There's no God in this. There's no spirit in this. Nope, this is mind, and I can feel the difference. So there's no spirit in it. Therefore, it's a withered branch. It's not connected. It's dead nothingness. I drop it. Okay, that's the first part. You're not done. The second part is remaining still and quiet, no longer battling, totally at peace, totally at ease, resting still, quiet, in the silence. You feel the descent of the Spirit. You feel the Spirit rush in and lift you up. You rise up into the realm of the real. You have an inner experience. Reality appears. You catch a glimpse of God as is. You see, these are all terms to describe an experience that happens. A transcendental presence is upon you. Okay? Then you feel that release. The presence is there. You have this glimpse. You're lifted up. The Spirit descends. Now it's finished. Now forget it. Don't check and see, well, how's it going along, you know, and take a peek out here, because then you're back to believing that something needs to be changed out here. Drop it. Go on. You're done. It's met. It's broken. The fabric's broken. Hasn't it broken in your mind? You're not in the battle. You're at peace. You're released. You're free. You're feeling the presence. Yes. The fabric of illusion has been broken. Now go on about your business. Go have a hot fudge sundae if that's what you were going to do. And watch the miracles. You will be the walking miracle worker. People will think that Christ has come. People will think that the gods have come in the form of men and women up to earth. And like Paul and Barnabas, you'll have to tell them, hey, we're just people like you. Here, read this book. Okay? All right, now I think I've explained it pretty good. Okay, now he goes into love the Lord thy God with all thy heart means to have all faith in the infinite invisible as the result of life appearing outwardly as effect. Okay. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart means to have all faith in the infinite invisible as the reality of life appearing outwardly as effect. Now down here I wrote, in other words, to have the conscious awareness of the Word manifest as invisible flesh, which is what will happen in your meditation, first, yeah, in meditation, and then with eyes open, is loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, listen to me, please. You're going to be having these experiences, which we just described a minute ago, where you peek into and have a glimpse of God as is, or the Spirit descending. You perceive the Word manifest as invisible flesh. You're really going to see that. Yes, in that flesh you will see God. First you're going to have that happen in your meditation. Later you're going to have that happen with your eyes open as you're walking around. All right, now that's loving your neighbor as yourself, and nothing else is. So you're not, he says here, we are not to love that which appears in this physical or mental realm. And that's why I'm sorry to tell you, your little nephew, this, that, the. No, that's not. If you're loving that, then you're going to hurt like heck if something happens to them, aren't you? And you're going to be caught up into the dream and absolutely useless to them. But if you're recognizing first in your meditation later while you're walking around, the infinite invisible, or the reality of them, not only will you be loving that which they really are, not only will you be loving in the realm governed by love, but should something appear to happen, your knowing the truth will break that, the fabric of that dream for them. So you will be useful. All right, so God is the selfhood of every individual on the face of this globe. When we follow those two commandments, we can readily see that all of these appearances of a sick, sinning, dying, ignorant humanity are the images of thought created by the world dream. Once we see that, we won't love these pictures anymore. Okay, that's just what I said. Now, I wrote, if we do not do this, we are not yet obeying the Master's command to love our neighbor as ourself. And so, you're not following the Master that you love if you're not doing this. But you're going to. These classes are going to guarantee it. And I wrote, this means we are not to love persons, but the infinite self, spirit, or consciousness of life. That's the only way it's really possible to love this world, he says. If you look through what they are presenting to you, good or bad, to that which they really are, once you have perceived that there is an invisible, which is the real being of everyone, and then you look right through the appearances, right through their eyes, and you see the soul of them, which sits behind those eyes. And that's what you have to do. So he says, in training yourself to look through the eyes of people and animals as you meet them, you really come automatically to where you are no longer loving or fearing or hating the appearance world. And in proportion to that, you can say, I have overcome the world. I no longer fear, hate, or love any of it. And you see, again, you have to do this. You can't do this part of the time. Well, I'm going to have one foot in this world, one foot in the other. Yeah, I want to practice principles, but I still want to hang on to this and her and him and them. And it's not going to work. So he says, you have to train yourself to do this, and then it becomes automatic. So not only do you have to train yourself to know this fabric, but you also have to train yourself to look through the eyes behind them to the invisibles. There's two parts. All right. Time will come when you will recognize. All right, now this is very important. The time will come when you will recognize that whereas there are other lessons which lift us up into cloud nine, and there are other lessons that seem to be more spiritual, more uplifting, and you will know there are other lessons you'd rather read or listen to than this one, the day will come when you will recognize that you can do without all the other lessons altogether and all the other books that are in the whole infinite way and exchange them all for this one lesson we've had tonight. All right. You can't make it more important than that. He says down here, this is the one lesson I give seldom, probably not more than 4 times in 8 years. Now, this is 1955. The Infinite Way came out in 1947. All right. He traveled 65,000 miles a year, seeing hundreds and hundreds of people. In 8 years, he gave this 4 times. That means every 2 years, he traveled 130,000 miles, saw thousands of people, gave hundreds and hundreds of hours of classes, and he gave this class once. Once. And so in the entire 16 years that he was traveling, he gave this class 8 times. Maybe. 8. Out of how many thousands of tapes? Hours of tapes? 8 hours. And yet he says you can throw everything away and exchange them all for this one. But the subject of this lesson has been given 4 times in 8 years, and it forms the chapter, The New Horizon. You see why I've been harping on that? All right, this is the lesson on healing. Spiritual healing has to do with the understanding of the spiritual principle of life, and God is the spiritual principle of life. All right, now, the spiritual healing principle in the infinite way you finally understand came from Buddha.
On the other hand, you have an appearance world, a dream world. Okay, all he's doing is saying there's two parts. And I love this. Once you perceive these principles, you will have a healing principle which will stand by you regardless of the nature of the problems that are brought to you. For the rest of your life and for eternity, this will stand by you because this principle is Christ. This principle is so absolute, given any fair opportunity with anybody at all susceptible to the spiritual life, you will bring harmony into their experience. The discords, limitations, and inharmonies of the world are not real. They are the fabric of that substance which is illusion or nothingness. When you treat it that way, instead of treating individual man, woman, child, and condition, you will have the secret of overcoming the entire world. Here, then, I wrote, is the secret of overcoming the world. Go back again and listen to the narrow path. And I wrote down here, he means this. And Joel does mean this. What does he mean? He means you have the secret to overcoming the world. Now, we want to follow the Master, and we want to be able to say, I have overcome the world. Well, in tonight's lesson, which I'm sorry it was so long, we have the principle, two parts to it, which will enable us to overcome the world, rise up into the realm of the real, and be one of those children of God in the universe governed by love. And all of this without leaving your living room. Thank you. If you've hung in here this far, my love and admiration goes with you. God bless.